Everybody can start turning in your Bibles to Philippians 2, whether you brought a digital Bible on your phone or you have a physical Bible with pages. You can start turning there. We will also have the scriptures on the screen for the most part, so you can always look up on the screen. Some of them I will not give you time to flip to, but we're going to be starting here in Philippians 2, and that's where a majority of the point is going to be coming from today. You know, as I was reflecting this last week, I realized that servanthood is something that's talked about quite a bit in the Bible. We get lost in today's society about how they're trying to figure out who we are. There's voices all over that are trying to tell us what to think. They're trying to make our identity out of our career. They're trying to tell us that we're based on where we live. We're basing our mannerisms and what we've grown up around. Society tries to tell us how we should look. It makes us feel inferior if we don't have the latest cell phone, if our current style of clothes is not the latest trend, if our vehicle is outdated. But as children of God, that isn't what should be shaping our thoughts and attitudes. We're called as children of God. We're blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. We're loved. We're not here for our own desires or opinions. We're ambassadors for the kingdom. We're supposed to be concerned the most about what the affairs of the king are. Our plans won't prosper when it's not in line with what God is wanting for us. We're servants of the one true king. So we start in verse 1 in Philippians 2 here. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. Jesus came and lived his life as an example for us. He looked out and put for others, and he put their needs ahead of his own. He didn't take the easy way out. He cared deeply for them. This should come as no shock, but we live in a society where it's all about me. So much of what is surrounding us goes after creating individualism. Social media not only makes this apparent, but many of the platforms embrace, promote, and even exploit the idea. When you post a picture and you get a notification of how many people liked it, you post a video on YouTube and you see how many views it got. It's all about the dopamine. Now, interesting enough, dopamine is actually a real thing. I thought it was a made-up word when the first time I heard it. You know, I'm a kid from the 80s and 90s, and dope was a word that I heard more commonly back when I was in grade school. Now, I don't use it much anymore, but I do. I will still use the phrase dude quite often. Dude. But regardless of our generational lingo, social media is designed to create dopamine in people's bodies. Dopamine is created and our brains process it as a neurotransmitter. It's a chemical created that our brains process as a reward-motivated behavior. The whole, if I do this for you, you do this for me type of behavior. It creates anticipation and excitement in our bodies that there's something to get excited about. Whether it's people-pleasing, the acceptance by people, It's the same type of chemical that addictive drugs make in our bodies to look for something. It tricks our bodies into desiring and wanting something, even though it's not necessarily what's good for us. Dopamine is a pleasure drug. It trains our bodies into thinking, hey, I want more of that. The more we get it, the more we want it. It thinks that something's wrong when we don't get it. Don't believe me? Somebody who's just constantly on social media, take their phone away and see how nuts they go. They're worried that they're missing out on something. They have FOMO, fear of missing out. Social media is actually social engineering. It's designed to be that way. It's designed to keep people hooked and on their platform as long as it can. They make it so that hitting like and interacting with stuff triggers something within you. It makes you wanting to find more stuff like it. It analyzes our behavior when we're on it. It looks at what others have done with it as well. And starts pushing stuff that they liked to us as well. We start chasing that dopamine. And you keep coming back for more and more. Seeing how you can get more out of it for you. And it's not just social media that is that way either. There's so many things that make the focus on us. Burger King. You guys know what the phrase is at Burger King? Have it your way. I don't have to take that tomato on that chicken sandwich. I can have it without tomato. I can have it my way. Unless you want your zesty sauce with your onion rings, and somehow they manage to forget that usually. Get disappointed when I get home. No zesty sauce. I don't say it. Beyond Burger King even. You know, I work on vehicles every day at work, and they're brand new vehicles with all the latest features. And of course, dealing with electrical stuff, there's all kinds of stuff that can go wrong there. You know, heated seats have been around for a while, but now they've got heated steering wheels on everything. They've got vented seats where it blows air up on your legs to try to cool you down in the summertime. They've got self-parking features. Not just parallel parking, but regular perpendicular parking too. They've got adaptive cruise, so to adjust how fast you're going based on how fast the car in front of you is going. All to make the driving experience a little more enjoyable. So you're more comfortable. As I've heard lately, first world problems. But society is trying to tell us that it's all about us. What features might make it more enjoyable for what we have going on? They look at how it makes us feel. In today's society, you almost can't even say certain things that it might offend someone. You can't look at someone who's obviously a woman and call her a she because they say that you don't know what they go by. Individualism is so pronounced in our society. It more or less wants us to try to think that we are our own God. Everything must revolve around us. Sadly, that thought has crept into the modern church as well. We look for a home church because we like the way the music, like the style of music that they play. We want to find somewhere with an established children's ministry or a growing a youth program. We want a fancy preacher that gets up and starts jumping up and down on the pews and shouting at everybody. Okay, you guys won't find that here. Unless God tells me to. But so much of it's the gimme, 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 my name's Jimmy, I want all you can give me. And everything that you're chasing after is going to be nothing without God. Because God truly is the only thing that will satisfy. All those other things are self-seeking behaviors. The reality is that we all have ways to contribute, to help. God is looking for us to fill that role that He's laying on our heart. Why are we here? We're not here to receive another message. Most of us could get up here and teach or preach the message. Many of you can do it much better than me. I've heard you guys talk. Now, I've been through a lot of schooling, but my ability to communicate, it's apparent that the only way that I'm able to communicate is because of God. I trip over my words. I don't have the right words to say, but because of God bringing me the right words, that's the only way I'm able to communicate back out what He's telling me. God's not into us just showing up to check a box, saying that I attended. We're not here to consume what we desire or what we decide to consume. The whole thing with the way the church services have evolved is that it all gets pushed to where the gathering of the saints is a spectator event. I'll say, obviously, with everything that God's been saying through multiple people this morning, that's not the case at New Life. But much of the church, that is what it has come down to. It slowly progressed to stages, stadium seating, and the focus on the pastor preaching. All the focus is to one person or group of people. Don't get me wrong, it gets us to focus when everything's pointing towards the pulpit, everything pointing towards the stage, to focus on the words that are being said, to focus on the lyrics on the screen. But the focus is not on the people. It removes distractions, but it also takes away some of the reasoning that we gather together. It's not for what we can receive. Digital ministry, it has its place, but it's not for convenience of consuming a message. Watching a message online is not the same as what gathering is about. We're not meant to be consumers. We're meant to be contributors. We're meant to engage. It's about hearing what God wants to say to His people. He loves us. He loves each and every believer. There's something about God speaking to His people that ignites and activates something within us. Talk about dopamine. God wants us to give us exactly that with Him. He wants to communicate to us. He wants to show that relationship with us so strongly. He doesn't want to keep anything back from us. He's looking for us to gather and just seek after Him and what He wants us to share. Worship is not the pre-show to the message. God wants to communicate to each and every one of His people all the time. You know, Diane's already hit on it, but He doesn't just communicate it to us right here in this building. He talks to us all throughout our week. Anywhere we go, we have the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords right there with us. He wants to use His body. He wants to use each and every person. He uses every single one of us. From the kids to the ones with gray hairs, even the ones without hairs, He uses each and every one of us. He's no respecter of persons. Gathering together is not about coming and trying to see what we can get out of it for ourselves. The church is the one entity in the world that does not exist for ourselves. We exist for God. We exist to show His love to those around us. A way of reminder for those who are regularly here at New Life, our vision statement here at New Life embraces this. I'm going to read that here briefly. As a caring and loving church, we purpose in our hearts to focus our attention in the following directions. Upward, exalting God in prayer, praise, and worship, and preaching the word. We purpose to show God He is our passion and express our love and thankfulness for who He is and what He does and who we are because of His grace. Inward, encouraging each other, we purpose to express our love for one another in deeds, prayer, and speech. In a world of full of negativity, we choose to support, defend, and honor each other in the sight of God. Forward, equipping the saints, we purpose to assist others in identifying and employing their gifts for the extension and establishment of the kingdom of God. Outward, evangelizing the lost, we purpose to present the gospel of Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit in the winning the lost to Him. This is our vision statement here at New Life. Every one of the 4 points, it pushes the attention back to God. None of those put our own desires first. The church is here to establish the kingdom of God. We're here to proclaim heaven on earth. In a kingdom, there is only one king. Our king, he communicates to his people. He shares with his people. He isn't a harsh ruler. So wonderful that the creator of the universe would desire to have a relationship with us. But He wants to have that same relationship with all of those around us as well. You never know when someone will leave this earth. Many of you should have been dead by now, but God said it wasn't time. God has plans and a purpose for each and every one of us. You were made on purpose for a purpose. God has divine appointments that He wants to use us for. Diane's story this morning, that was a divine appointment. He knew what kind of encouragement they would be to the workers there. He knew what kind of encouragement the workers there would be for Diane. God wants us to be encouraged. He wants us to look past ourselves and be looking to Him. He wants us to recognize what His desires are for us and how He wants us to serve. One of the greatest examples that Jesus Himself set the example with serving is found in John 13, and it's the story of the washing of the feet. John 13, starting in verse 1. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, that He should depart from this world to the Father, having loved His own who were in the world, He loved them to the end. And supper being ended, the devil having already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray Him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things to His hands, and that He had come from God and was going to God, rose from supper and laid aside His garments, took a towel and girded Himself. After that, He poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel which He was girded. Then He came to Simon Peter, and Peter said to Him, Lord, are You washing My feet? Jesus answered him and said, What I am doing You do not understand now, but You will know after this. Peter said to Him, You shall never wash My feet. Jesus answered him, If I do not wash you, you have no part with Me. Simon Peter said to Him, Lord, not only my feet, but also my hands and my head. Jesus said to him in verse 10, He who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean, and you are clean, but not all of you. For He knew who would betray Him. Therefore, He said, You are not all clean. So when He had washed their feet, taken His garments, and sat down again, He said to them, Do you know what I have done to you? You call Me teacher and Lord, and you say well, for I am so. If then your Lord and teacher have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. Jesus tells us that he will show us how to serve. But he's looking for obedience in carrying it out. When preparing for group meals at the time, it was customary for a servant to wash everyone's feet. Think about it. You ever try wearing sandals in the, when it's all dry out in the summertime? Your feet aren't very clean when you're walking through the dirt. And the tables that back then, that they were eating at, they're not like what we have in our country today where we sit at a table, it's kind of elevated, and you sit on a chair. No, back then they were low-height tables, so they would have been sitting on the ground. It's not very far from their feet to their food. Nobody wants to eat your dirty feet. But Jesus realized that nobody else was doing what was customary. So he himself took the form of a servant and washed his disciples' feet. He recognized that no one else was doing what needed to be done. I'm sure they all realized that they should have done that. There was the need, but they didn't think to do it themselves. And instead, the one they were looking to serve was the one that was now serving them. If the one who spoke the worlds into existence can do this for his people, we can learn to serve him with gladness as well. Serve because it's in our hearts to serve. There's things to do all around us. There's areas that could use some additional help on Sunday during the gathering we have here. We have some people that they're serving every week, week in and week out. We've had where we've ended up shuffling people around just to have all the positions filled so that some people who were serving in more than one area just moved over to another spot, someone else took their spot. There's somewhere you can get plugged in here. Beyond the Sunday service, there's things that can be done around here as well. There's plants that could always be watered. Weeds always need sprayed out there. We can line up a number of different ways to serve if you're interested. Trying to do something that's uncomfortable isn't a bad thing. God isn't looking for us to stay in our comfort zones. There's a story about four people. I'm sure many of you heard this before. Everybody, somebody, anybody, and nobody. There was an important job to be done, and everybody was sure that somebody would do it. Anybody could have done it, but nobody did it. Somebody got angry about that because it was everybody's job. Everybody thought anybody could do it, but nobody realized that everybody wouldn't do it. It ended up that everybody blamed somebody when nobody did what anybody could have done. That's a lot to say. But we're all called to be servants. We're all meant to serve the King. He operates through his people. He wants us to look for what he has placed us there to do. I'm not saying that you have to serve in order to be saved. We aren't saved by our works. The only thing that gets us to heaven is our faith and believing that Jesus is who he says he is. But works are a part of our faith. Faith without works is dead. But it's out of our faith that we operate and serve. In Joshua 24 and verse 14, "Now therefore fear the Lord, serve him in sincerity and truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river in Egypt. Serve the Lord. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you will dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." It's our choice. It's our choice who we will serve. Ourselves or God. We can serve ourselves, but that's not the choice that God wants us to make. He wants us to put others ahead of ourselves. "But Pastor John, I'm too busy." We all have that excuse, but we make time for what we place in our hearts. I've used that excuse before. I get busy sometimes. Sometimes I overcommit. I know what it's like to be busy. But there's ways that we can find time. We make time for what we desire in our hearts. Whatever we purpose in our hearts is exactly what we have time for. I don't mean to keep dogging on social media, but it is a time sucker. You can find yourself scrolling, and time has gone way faster than you think. TV shows, even ones that are Christian shows, they can take more time than we realize also. Now, I know that a lot of you send me videos or tell me something to watch on TV. I'll be honest, I don't get to all of them. If I watched every single video or show that somebody recommended, I would not have time for a lot of other things. It can steal our time, even when we try to justify it. There's things that God wants us to do with what He tells us. It's not about consuming. It's about stewarding the word that He gives us. There are rabbit holes that we can go chasing down that take more than we think. But here's the good thing about it. God has given us discipline. He has given us control over it. Many of you know the verse. When you read it in the New King James Version, it says that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. I think it's 2 Timothy 1:7. But I like to read in multiple versions sometimes. Some years when I read through the Bible, I use a different version than I normally would do. I remember reading it in the New Living Translation one year, and here's what it says. "For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline." We can discipline our flesh. Our own personal desires, they can be put aside. We're called to love others. We're known as Jesus' disciples by our love. One of the ways that we love is to serve. Jesus didn't come to be served, but to serve. He paid the price for us. He suffered an anguishing death on the cross. He didn't go the easy way out. I said I like using some of the other versions. Let's look at these verses in Philippians again and some of the other versions. The Passion Translation says, "Look at how much encouragement you've found in your relationship with the Anointed One. You are filled to overflowing with His comforting love. You have experienced a deepening friendship with the Holy Spirit and have felt His tender affection and mercy. So I'm asking you, my friends, that you be joined together in perfect unity with one heart, one passion, and united in one love. Walk together with one harmonious purpose, and you will fill my heart with unbounded joy. Be free from pride-filled opinions, for they will only harm your cherished unity. Don't allow self-promotion to hide in your hearts. but in authentic humility, put others first and view others as more important than yourselves. Abandon every display of selfishness. Possess a greater concern for what matters to others instead of your own interest. And consider the example that Jesus, the Anointed One, has set before us. Let his mindset become your motivation. I encourage you, read passages in other versions. It helps ignite something for what God is wanting to say to us through his word. It's good to use study versions where it's a word-for-word translation. But like with this, the Passion Translation and the Message Bible, they're a thought-for-thought translation. They're more of a paraphrase. In the Message version, starting in verse 1 there, it says, and this one should be on the screen now, "If you've gotten anything at all out of following Christ, if his love has made any difference in your life, if being in a community of the Spirit means anything to you, if you have a heart, if you care, then do me a favor. Agree with each other, love each other, be deep-spirited friends. Don't push your way to the front. Don't sweet talk your way to the top. Put yourself aside and help others get ahead. Don't be obsessed with getting your own advantage. Forget yourselves long enough to lend a helping hand. Think of yourselves the way Christ Jesus thought of himself. He had equal status with God, but didn't think so much of himself that he had to cling to the advantages of that status no matter what. Not at all. When the time came, he set aside the privileges of deity and took on the status of a slave, became human. Having become human, he stayed human. It was an incredibly humbling process. He didn't claim special privileges. Instead, he lived a selfless, obedient life and then died a selfless, obedient death. And the worst kind of death at that, a crucifixion. We're called to desire to love one another. God has changed our nature. He wants us to desire his desires. He wants us to recognize how we are called to bless others. God rewards us in due time. He sees what we're doing. He makes it right. Whether on this side of eternity or in the sweet by and by, he has us covered. But he wants us to be sold out to him, desiring him and his kingdom first. Over and over in the Bible, we're told to be servants. So we ask the question today, God, how do you want us to serve? Let's pray. Well, Father, we do look to you. Lord, we look to you and see where you want us to serve at, God. Lord, we thank you for the example that you gave us, Jesus, that you showed us that we truly are servants first. Lord, have your way in us. Lord, we're sorry for any selfish ambition, any selfish desires, any self-centeredness that we have had, God. Lord, we cast that off today. Lord, we repent of those behaviors, God. Lord, we seek you and your goodness. We seek you and your newness, God, that you make a way where it seems like there is no way in us. Lord, we need you. Lord, we need you to be able to change. Lord, have your way. Lord, we thank you for that transformation that you do in us, God. Lord, that you do not leave us where we are, God, but you continue to grow us and stretch us to a capacity far greater than we could ever think you could do. Lord, we're sorry for putting any boxes on you. Lord, we're sorry for putting any limitations on what you can do. Nothing is outside of your reach. Lord, we open our eyes, we open our ears, we open our hearts to you, God. Thank you for that relationship with us. Thank you for continuing to show us what that next step is. Lord, all we need is that next step, and we see it, and we will walk in it, God. And then you are faithful to give that next step after that. Have your way, God. Have your way. We submit to you. We humble ourselves before you, God. We thank you. We praise you. We love you, Lord. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.